that's our kind of official start date back in 1863 with the H.S. Gilbert Brewery in Virginia City. That was the first, I guess, legal brewery that paid taxes. There's some evidence that there might have been a couple of earlier ones, but we do. We have a rich and dynamic brewing history, and especially from that 1863 period up until Prohibition, it was a booming industry. It was, you know, there were a lot of the state officials were seeing that in the early 1900s as our next big boom. We started in the state with the mining, but around 1900, agriculture was our main economy, and tied to that then was beer production. So we certainly have some big players and a lot of cool ties to even current breweries that are still out there and enjoyed. But a lot of brewing history has traveled through Montana.
Prohibition shut it down, or
it did. Yeah, Prohibition shut it down. Montana actually enforced Prohibition about a year earlier than it did nationally for whatever reasons, but it's about 1918. Prohibition shut it down. As I point out in the book, there's at least one rogue brewer that was in the state that still tried to get away with a little brewing activity, but he got caught several times. And but there was that period that from 1918 until the repeal in the early 1930s there that stopped a lot. And once that ended, once the prohibition was repealed, by that time, the big breweries that were in the country just, they were able to rebound faster than a lot of our small breweries were. So it became really hard to compete in a bigger marketplace against the big brewers that could bring in cans and bottles of beer for cheaper prices, afford more advertising. So that really hurt the local brewers. It was scattered and a smaller collection of brewers through the 1930s until the 1960s, when the last brewery in Montana closed its doors, Great Falls Brewing in 1968. They were the makers of Great Falls Select. They stopped in 1968. And that was the last brewery actually in not only Montana, but Idaho and Wyoming and North Dakota and South Dakota.
Wow.
And from then until essentially when Byron Brewery opened here in Missoula in 87, we had another dry spell. No pun intended.
When did the national craft beer homebrew movement really pick up? Was that the late 80s, early 90s?
It was, yeah. After it was President Jimmy Carter that made homebrewing legal there in the late 70s, and that really opened doors for people to be able to do it at home and in moderation. And certainly as the late 80s, that's when we started seeing some of the founding fathers. And you look at Sierra Nevada as one of those, Anchor Brewing in San Francisco. But there were several that were craft beers, and certainly Sam Adams. Can't get too far away from Sam Adams.
What sort of financial impact do these smaller brewers have on the state of Montana, I wonder?
The Montana Brewers Association recently partnered with the University of Montana for an economic impact study. And I want to say, I would double check, but I want to say it was at least a $50 million economic contribution for the breweries that we had, which is notable. Montana, though second for breweries per capita, employs the most brewers per capita in the United States. So if we're looking at jobs there, there are a lot of people that are working in this industry to make good beer. We're about third in the nation for beer consumption. We're one of the three states that the average adult consumes over 40 gallons a year of beer. So there's a nice, strong local audience that these breweries are catering to.
Ryan, I like how you lay out your book, Montana Beer, A Guide to Breweries in Big Sky Country. It's done region by region, basically.
Yeah, exactly. We have a diverse state geographically and with the topography and terrain. That's you just see that when you're traveling around. Like each area of Montana has a slightly different feel, different views. I've structured it that if you were visiting a particular area in Montana, you could just look through and see all the breweries that are nearby. And you could easily hit two or three or four of them in the same day if you wanted to make that a part of your trip. You know, That's what we're hoping for. We already have great reasons to visit Montana, our national parks here and beauty, but now here's another reason.
There are too many to go into here, but do you mind pointing out two or three that are particularly interesting that caught your eye?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very excited about what Jim Luters is doing at Wildwood Brewery in Stevensville. And he's been around the brewing industry for a long time, doing a lot of consulting, helping a lot of other breweries around the country and around the world open. But he's got a vision for what a brewery can do with a very small environmental impact. And he's working on some exciting projects to reuse the waste that gets generated. When you brew beer, it generates a lot of waste. Probably about 85% of all the things that go into beer to make beer end up being a waste product, right? And he's finding some exciting ways to reuse that stuff. And now one of the most popular uses for spent grain is maybe to work with a local farmer, pigs, cows, and use it as a feedstock. He has a better idea to use that as a substrate to grow mushrooms. And it's already been warmed in the brewing process. And then if you can maintain that warmth, you're not spending more energy to warm that up. It's a perfect host material to grow all kinds of mushrooms. He's looking at reusing parts of the wastewater, putting it into an anaerobic digester to create energy to power the brewery, but then also connect to a fish pond behind the brewery eventually and grow different algaes that can be used, including spirulina, which is popular in health food stores. Yeah. And it's all a small footprint. The idea was to find what other industry can complement what you're already doing. So that's going to be an exciting project to follow. You know, over in Billings has the most breweries. As far as a single city goes, there's about six that are within walking distance. Carter's is a very fun one. He is brewing at least 100 different styles of beer a year. That's fun to see. You know, somebody who's obviously passionate about it and doing a lot of different things. But, you know, it's a family business for him and his wife and his children. In the middle of the state, you got to point to Bozeman Brewing Company. They're also one of the sort of founding fathers, so to speak, in the brewing industry. They've been around for a long time. They're having good success with their canned beers. Montanans like to recreate, and canned beer is a popular way to be able to take a beer out in the backcountry or on a river and enjoy it. But Todd at Bozeman Brewing and Bill, the brewer there, producing some very fine beers. Blackfoot River, for sure, again, has been around since the 1990s, brewing great classic styles of beer, but also spending a lot of time educating anyone who comes into the brewery. They serve their beer in style-specific glassware, and it really makes a difference. So I got to give props to them.
Is Montana Beer, is it your first physical book, as it were?
Yeah, it's my first book, and it's always a nice milestone to hit, especially as a writer.
Yeah, everybody. You also operate MontanaBeerFinder.com.
Yeah, it's a beer blog that I founded almost 2 years ago. It's basically what beer you can find in the state and where you can find it, and to highlight some of the events that are happening around the state. It's been a nice outlet to help people connect with the breweries or the beers that they might be looking for.
I'm just curious, from a business perspective, does beerfinder.com cut into the sales of Montana beer or vice versa? Is that a weird proposition?
You know, it's not. The beer blog is certainly just a labor of love. Yeah. It's been an outlet I want to explore. Like I said, I have been writing for a while about a lot of different things, but I wanted beer to be a niche that I could find new things, new beers to try, write about it, connect with other beer writers, beer drinkers. And it still is. It started as a labor of love and still is. So the book is actually probably the first time I actually made any money writing about beer.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Last question.
Sure.
What is it about beer? And I'm not talking about going out and knocking back a half rack and going crazy.
Yeah.
What is it about sitting down with a friend or even a complete stranger over a mm-hmm. beer to just chatting. Is there something so civilized about it? What is it, about it?
It is, yeah. You've certainly touched on it there. It's my friend Alan says this often, and I totally agree that beer is social. It's an opportunity to be on the same playing field as anyone else that's at the bar with you, be it a stranger or a friend. You're sharing that moment, and you're connecting over something that excites you, that tastes great, that's local, and you know, it is. It sort of brings people together, and it's still fun. I mean, it's relaxing, and it's a time to take to yourself as well. Like, you're spending that time sitting there, probably not doing much, but maybe chatting and enjoying a beer. So you're kind of taking those moments out of each day, and I think that's kind of the fun part. And certainly just discovering a new beer that you like. And that just sends you down a road of wanting to try others that are similar. And I think that sense of discovery is what a lot of craft beer enthusiasts enjoy, and why they want to try different ones in different places to compare and contrast and understand what's going on. And that's always been the fun. I often fall in love with a beer style more than once. You know? Come back to it, and you have a beer that's fantastic, and you want to find more of those.
Absolutely. I've been speaking with Ryan Newhouse, author of Montana Beer, A Guide to Breweries in Big Sky Country. It's published by American Palate, which is a division of The History Press. Also these days, we have to mention, it's available as an ebook, Amazon Kindle, The Barnes and Noble Nook, Apple's iBookstore, Google's eBookstore, and Overdrive. Real pleasure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.